We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Our next guest, he knows the game of baseball as well as anyone from Fox Sports. It's our pleasure to welcome Rob Nyer to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Rob, good morning. Always great to have you on the show. Johnny Cueto started the All-Star game for the NL. Madison Bumgarner with the best first half of a season in his career. What are your thoughts on what the Giants' top two have done so far?
Well, I don't think that Bumgarner's performance is any great surprise, but I think Cueto's is. Maybe not a great surprise, but given how he pitched for the Royals in the second half last season after going to them in a big trade, I think that it was considered somewhat risky to sign him to a long-term deal, and so far it's worked out wonderfully.
Now, Rob, the Giants, the best record at the break, but in order to keep that momentum, do they need to go out and add an arm to the bullpen, sign an outfielder, or both with all the injuries they've had?
Well, look, I don't know that they need to do anything to get to the playoffs, but sure, have they overperformed a little bit? Yeah, they're 20-10 in one-run games, and that's not sustainable. But look, they're 57-33. Nope, that's not sustainable for lots of reasons. They're going to fall back a little in the second half. They're probably not going to win 105 games. That's okay. The question is, can you play well enough to win 95 and hold off the Dodgers? And I don't know that getting an outfielder or a relief pitcher makes a big difference there. Every little bit might wind up helping. I think more the making a deal for deadline is more about proving to your players and your manager and your fans that you're in this thing to win it.
We're talking with Rob Nyer, Fox Sports, with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Rob, who do you think might be the biggest name, you know, move before the deadline?
You know, there aren't that many big names that are available because so many teams are still contending, and there are some teams that aren't, that are clearly out of it. The A's, for example. None of those teams generally don't have big names to trade. I do think that with a lot of contenders with the starting pitching, you can look at pitchers like Rich Hill on the A's, Jake Odorizzi on the Rays, and Drew Pomeranz on the Padres. They all look highly tradable.
Rob, who's a team to look out for going into the second half?
I think that the Astros are well positioned to make a move. Now, they are 5.5 behind the Rangers, another team with a great record in the one-run games, by the way, 19-7, I believe. But the Astros are strong. The Mariners could be this year's Blue Jays from last year. The Mariners have the best run differential in their division, but they're 8.5 games out. That's a lot of ground to make up. But I think that they're better than their record. And somebody in the AL East probably comes out of the pack. Hard to say who that would be. In the National League, I don't see anybody that's particularly impressive that hasn't played well, unless you count the Pirates, who are coming off a 3-year streak of going to the playoffs, certainly have underperformed this year, largely because their pitching staff, their starting pitching, with one exception, has been a disaster. So I think it's reasonable to think that one or two of those guys will pitch better in the second half. I'm just not sure if it's going to be enough.
Hey, Rob, you mentioned Rich Hill. Do you think he could be the first A dealt before the deadline?
He seems the most likely to me. I think he's certainly the most desirable player that's been rumored to be available on the A's. And, you know, people also talk about Josh Reddick. He's having a decent season, not a great season. Danny Valencia is having a surprising good season. So there are some players there who I think would have some value. But Rich Hill, at 36, having the best season of his career, I think is the number one candidate.
And with Sonny Gray, do you think it would be best to try and move him before the deadline? Or, if you're the A's, hold on to him until the winter meetings when you'll have a market that won't feature so many great pitchers?
Well, look, there's that. There's also the fact that his value might be as low now as it's going to be for a while because he hasn't pitched well. And one would assume that if he's healthy, he'll pitch better. And then there's also the possibility of just keeping him. He's not eligible free agency until 2020 now. I realize that he can get expensive next year because of arbitration. But he's the sort of pitcher that you might be able to build your staff around. It's not like he's super expensive or the A's don't have any money. We know they do have some. They probably have enough to pay Sonny Gray.
He's one of the best in the business from Fox Sports. It's Rob Neyer with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. Rob, always great talking baseball with you. Enjoy the second half.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Well, Guru, I know you hate to hear this, but it could look like a potential fire sale in Oakland coming very soon.
If it is, any good sale, you want a good return. And it's a shame because we talked yesterday. Susan said, you know, this may be Simeon's team with Chris Davis, who I think is a hell of a player. I don't want to see him dealt. So here we go again. And a three-year run where they got into the playoffs each and every year and went to the wild card game, had a six-run lead. Those days just look longer and longer, you know, further and further away, and it's just sad.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. I know that everyone talks about analytics and Billy Bean and the movie and all that stuff to come out, but right now it's not working. It's not that analytics don't work. It's just people, I mean, you got to realize that sometimes you lose your mojo. And this team continues to the fire sale. Last year, traded a bunch of players. The year before, and you continue to try to trade a bunch of products because you treat them just as products, and you don't even, I mean, look at Pittsburgh, same type of market, small market. Everyone says, oh, when are they going to trade McCutchen? But see, there are certain players, at least they're keeping some type of nucleus. When you look at here, now you talked about it, Simeon might be, this may be his team now. I mean,
until next year, and they're not in it, and then you send him off.
So it's until they're able to draw their line in the dirt and saying, we got to get some type of consistency. In some type of consistency in our play, because it's hard on Bob Melvin. It's hard on the players, because when you know you're just a rental and you know you're not looked at as a true player, and my shelf life, I'm probably traded halfway through. Guys don't buy homes. They don't really get vested in the community because they know they're short-lived here. So the A's are in a tough situation. They got to get it figured out, got to make sure to get some more revenue where they can be able to, I might have to change a little bit of the model, but they can get some players, some good players that want to stay here.
It's 7:09, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. Big thanks to Rob Neyer of Fox Sports. We're taking a look at the second half of the baseball season, which kicks off tomorrow. All right, Guru, in the National League right now, Washington at 54-36. They're on top in the East by six games over the Mets. The Central, the Cubs at 53-35. Struggled of late, still had a seven-game lead on the Cards, and the Giants 6.5 in front of the Dodgers at 57-33. Who do you think winds up with the best record when it's all said and done after the second half's over?
The Giants.
You think the Giants are going to continue to cruise?
And I think we're going to see a move to enhance that bullpen. As smart as intelligent as that organization is, the one drawback is a crucial drawback, and that's the bullpen. And I just think they've seen enough in the first half. Even when they win sometimes, there's some turbulence on those wins, and it's making Bochy uncomfortable. And when you're this close, fellas, I think it's just, you know, one small move, doesn't have to be a big splash, will be enough to solidify that pin, and we could be looking at another World Series appearance from the Gigantes.
Especially when you know you can compete. The Giants know right now that they're competing, and they know they're competing at a high level with a half-loaded, with not being at full mass.
Wow.
They're not even at full mass, and they're still in the thick of things, and they still have the best record in baseball. So you look at Bochy, and you look at this situation. He is a manager or skipper that is going to, you know, you listen, he puts the onus on the team. When guys struggles, he goes, look, I believe in you, and I believe in the things you saw with Casey McGee. He's going to give you ample opportunities to show that you belong in the majors. And right now, the bullpen has shown inconsistency. And Bochy say, look, guys, I believe in you. But Bochy tells these young men, he tells his pitching and his rotation, look, if you can't succeed, if you continue to struggle, I'm going to have to make moves. And I think that those players understand that. And we can ask Javi when we come to the show, but I believe that they're going to strengthen that bullpen. They have to. They know that. And like you alluded to, Guru, they have struggled at times. Even when they win, they've struggled. So this organization will address that if they want to get where they want to get, and that's winning another championship.
Well, I'm with you, Guru. It's like Santiago Casilla, love the guy, but this year it's like you got to strap in for every appearance. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get.
You're right. And how have you seen Bochy go out there and get the ball during the actual
like a grip
count.
Session?
Yeah, damn it, this is not how we win. It's too uncomfortable. And when you get to the playoffs and you're playing better competition, better hitters, Chad, then it becomes, you know, more glaring that, hey, we could have fixed this and it could cost us big time.
The second half will kick off tomorrow. The Giants will take on the Padres. That first pitch at 7:40 on NBC Bay Area. But the A's back in action. The Dugout Show with Rick Tittle will kick off at 6:15. And the first pitch between the A's and Blue Jays at 7:05. All of it right here on your home of the A's, 95.7 The Game. I've got seven NFL questions for both Guru and Lowe, and we're going to do that next.
Yeah.
7:12, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss skateboarding legend Tony Hawk, coming up at 11:40 with Joe Fortenbaugh. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:16, I've got seven questions I'm going to put to both Lowe and Guru. And that's coming up in just a moment. We will talk with an NFL scout and one of the best sports talkers in the country. Lance Zierlein is going to join the show at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on some of the young players picked by the Raiders. And more importantly, the talent overhaul on both sides of the ball for the Raiders. And we'll get his thoughts on Driscoll, some of the young players for the 49ers as well. Lance Zierlein is coming up at 8:30. But right now, it's time to talk some NFL. I've got Guru in the house. I've got 16-year NFL vet Lo Neal. I've got seven questions. Let's talk some football. All right, question number one. Guru, we'll start with you. Which team has the most talented young roster in the NFL?
This was close. I didn't want to go Bart Simpson on you, but I was going to sound like a homer. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jalen Ramsey, Blake Bortles, who reminds me of a young Big Ben. And I mean that. That's a very high compliment. Allen Hurns. And I think they're going to get after it in that division this year. So that's my dark horse to make the playoffs this year in the AFC is Jacksonville.
All right, so Guru says Jacksonville. Lo, what about you? Who's got the most talented young roster in the league?
I think Jayville's right there, but Jayville has a guy that's on that roster that's a rookie that's coming off that knee surgery. We don't know for sure if this guy going to be 100%. He could play 1 year, 2 years. We don't know, so I can't use Jacksonville. I got to stay home and say the Raiders. You have a young QB in Carr going into his fourth year, but not just there. You have a pass rusher, a dominant guy, Khalil Mack, that can change the game. You went out and got other players, brought in a young safety from West Virginia. Virginia, that is going to be a lockdown type of guy who can play in this slot as well. I think that the Raiders have some young talent and going to continue to thrive.
All right, question number two. Guru, which quarterback in the NFL would you want right now for the next 10 years?
I'm going Derek Carr. If Derek Carr is who I think he is, he has the ability to read the defenses. He throws a pretty ball. I believe he's in command of the offense. He knows the offense. He comprehends what he's doing every time they get the ball. It's just about the mistakes in the fourth quarter. And if he shows me that, Chad, and takes that next step, this guy is going to be his league. And I can't give you another quarterback. I can't wait to hear what Lowe says because Derek Carr right now, it's his time to take the next step.
All right, Guru says Carr. Lowe, what about you? Which quarterback would you want for the next 10 years?
Mine, it's very, very simple. This guy, where'd he go to school? Stanford, the Cardinals, a guy who's smart, who's got intellect. Who would it be? You know it. Yes, he's over there, the young Luck. Why? If you put Luck in this offense with the Raiders, that is, he would light up the league with Amari Cooper and Crabtree and all the weapons that this Raider team has and that young, gaunted defense, all the guys that they got on that offensive line. It's unbelievable going out and getting KO. If you had Luck in this offense, for the next 10 years, it'd be Luck. Second would be Russell Wilson, and my third and fourth pick would be Carr and Jameis Winston. Those two would be a toss-up, but
so
Luck by far.
Luck over the next 10 years.
He's a turnover machine, but you said with the Raiders.
More talent.
Yeah, okay.
Way more talent here.
For me, I don't care what team he's playing with. I'll take Andrew Luck, and I'm a big Derek Carr fan. Question number three, fellas. Which team would you most want to coach right now in the league? Guru?
You know what? I'm going to say the New England Patriots.
Yeah, Tom Brady and company. That's not a bad scenario.
Know, but they know who they are. They know what they want to do. And, again, they got Tom Terrific, the best quarterback arguably ever. And they're going to make a run this year. Shocker. But, yeah, I'd go with the Pats.
All right. Guru says Pats. Lo, which team would you want to coach most
right
now?
Yeah, well, Tom Brady would make everyone's job easier. That's the obvious choice, Guru. Everyone wants Tom Brady.
I want to win.
Brady's going. He's a winner. You've seen what this guy did. He took the league over by storm, being a six-round guy. And where is he from? Here in the Bay. But absolutely, everyone wants Tom Brady. For me, I want that underdog. And I'll tell you, a team with so much talent, I'm going to be that homer, the Raiders, man. I'm telling you, offensive line, one of the best offensive lines in football. You got a defense, got secondary. Give me this young and up and team, the Raiders. That's what I would take right now.
All right, question four, and we're talking some NFL with Guru and Lowe. Which rookie would you most want on your roster for the next 5 years? Guru.
That's easy. Number 21 in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott. Running behind that offensive line, he's set up to have a career mirror to Tony Dorsett. I mean, this guy is going to walk through holes and not get touched low until about 5 yards down the yonder. And Dallas, with that offensive line, are going to give a lot of teams problems. And when you know you can run the ball, you control the clock, I mean, this guy set up perfect to just have a stellar career, dare I say Hall of Fame career. It looks good.
I had to turn my paper over because I think this guy's over here trying to steal my answer. Oh. Zeke Elliott by a landslide. This is why. He's an every down back. He can do it all, Guru. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a chain mover. He's a game changer. This young Zeke Elliott will take the league by storm. It's nothing he can't do. You talk about other backs, you have to take them off the field on third down because they're not good in the pass reception. This guy can catch the ball, and he can also block. I like Zeke Elliott by a landslide.
I'll take DeForest Buckner. I think he's going to be a beast for Chip Kelly and the 49ers on that defensive front. Next question for you, fellas. Which coach hired this offseason will be looked at as the best hire 5 years from now?
I'm going the man in Cincinnati, Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jack.
Hugh is not only a football coach, but he's a man that knows how to talk to other men. And when he was in Oakland, you could look at his tenure as successful. So things behind the scenes are the reason he wasn't the coach. He's an offensive mind, and he knows how to talk offense to the quarterback. Again, the most important person on the football field. Hugh Jackson is going to take this league by storm. He's already had experience as a head coach, and I'm telling you, he's about to do some things where he's at in Cleveland. And watch out for the Browns.
Lowe?
Yeah, this guy, he's looking at my paper again. So no. I'm going to go another way. I'm going to say Gates, Adam Gates. I love this young coach. I loved him in Miami. He's got more talent than Hugh Jackson. I believe that the Miami Dolphins is poised to make a playoff push this year. Yeah, I'm saying it. Why? I know Tannehill's not the quarterback that everyone wants, but I'll tell you, they have talent around here. So I'm going to say Gates, and I'm also say Hugh Jack, because Hugh Jackson is a strong believer that players make plays, coaches make decisions that help determine outcomes of games.
We got two more questions for you, fellas. Number six, what will be looked at as the NFL's worst contract in 3 years?
I'm going, I'm rooting for this man. I want to see him come back. I want to see a redemption story, but it's number seven here in San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick. That deal right now is going to, right now it makes no sense. He's not playing up to par. He's got off to a bad start, Cap. And we may be looking at his last hoorah here in the Bay Area. And when you look at his contract, what he signed for, a lot of people scratch their head and ask why. But it looks like he'll never live up to that contract. And this may be the death knell in his career here in San Francisco. And I'm hoping it's not. But I'm looking at the numbers, and it looks bad if he doesn't perform.
For me, it's easy. It's Sammy Bradford. Sammy be good, Sammy be bad. Sammy already stole the money early in his first contract. And this year, $18 million a year. How could that be when Fitzpatrick took the Jets to the playoffs and he's still out on the street? They didn't overpay him. So I look at Sammy Bradford as a bad choice, even though he's in Philadelphia. $18 million a year, too much money, especially for a backup quarterback.
Final question. We got 1 minute, guys. In the next 10 years, will there be an NFL team in a city that currently doesn't have a team? Guru.
Well, Las Vegas. Yeah, it's about to happen. I hope it's not the Raiders. We don't want it to be the Raiders, but it's coming.
Lo?
Vegas. You only gave me a minute. If you want me to elaborate and get into Howard Cosell's voice, I will, Chad. Where do you want me, buddy?
The quicker we can get you out of Cosell's voice, the better. So there you go. Seven questions for Guru and Lo. Thanks a lot, fellas. Always nice to talk some football. It's right around the corner. The Banana Boat Crew went from being funny to serious last night. You're going to hear that next. 725, Chad, Joe, and Lo, 95.7 The Game.
Who's the favorite to win the Open Championship? Shane Bacon of Fox Sports joins us coming up at 9. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game.
730, thanks for your time. Thursday edition of Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game. Our top story today, the ESPYs last night. Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James took the stage together at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, and they urged their fellow athletes to be active socially. Now, the message comes after a high-profile shootings in Dallas, Orlando, and Baton Rouge. Now, we're going to play a portion of the speech from last night with LeBron James speaking. One thing to keep in mind as you listen to this, the players, not ESPN, so Wade, LeBron, Melo, and CP3, they are the guys who approached ESPN so they could have a chance to speak out. Take a listen.
We all feel helpless and frustrated by the violence. We do. But that's not acceptable. It's time to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are we doing to create change? It's not about being a role model. It's not about our responsibility to the tradition of activism. I know tonight we'll honor Muhammad Ali, the GOAT. But to do his legacy any justice, let's use this moment as a call to action for all professional athletes to educate ourselves, explore these issues, speak up, use our influence, and renounce all violence. And most importantly, go back to our communities, invest our time, our resources, help rebuild them, help strengthen them, help change them. We all have to do better. Thank you.
There's LeBron James from the ESPYs. Well, I like that question he asked there. What are we doing to create change? Let's start with Lo on this. What was your reaction to what you heard from LeBron there, Lo?
I thought it was needed. I thought LeBron did a good job. I thought he was well versed on it. I think when you listen to it, he goes, "We're all frustrated." That was something that jumped out because we are all frustrated. What's going on? It's senseless. It's stupid. And then you have, and he talks about, but what is brutality and what is reacting in a negative way? What does that do? That's not a problem. That's not being a part of the solution. That's being a part of the problem. So he addressed that. Then he challenged the athletes as an athletes of having a sphere of influence that have gravitas, that's having the platform. Then he challenged them. He said, educate. That's what was big to me when he talked about educate. Educate yourself on the things that are going on around this world, especially if we're going to be asked to have a voice. So football and basketball and hockey and all these sports, that's what they do. That's who we are. That's what we do, but that's not who we are. That doesn't define us. So then he goes on and talks about his last of all. He said, invest your time and resources into your community, meaning that if you're it's in that community where these things are happening. How are you? What are you doing as an athlete, as a person, just a person that have their civic duty to pay their civic rent, to invest time and resources into the community? And I think LeBron's doing that. He's putting his money where his mouth is. You see what he's done in Cleveland. You see what he's doing in Ohio, helping kids, helping them read, write, doing these different things, and having them an outlook, which a lot of these young kids don't have parents, don't have that sphere of influence that is a positive sphere of influence that's helping them in the right direction. So I'm glad that LeBron stepped out from his comfort zone and challenging America and challenging athletes, especially the ones that have a sphere of influence, to educate themselves better, to make sure moving forward that they give people the empowerment instead of just entitlement.
Guru, what was your reaction to the speech?
Why was it just them four up on the stage? I mean, it's a stage. You could have fit 50 or 60, even 100 people. I'm over this banana boat crew. I mean, you had Steph Curry. You had guys that feel the same way as LeBron James. Why was it just these four up there? I could have seen, or I would have liked to see, more unity. Just me, I'm different, like 2 Chainz. I'm not saying LeBron James like Lowe is not giving back. But damn it, they should have had more athletes up there, black athletes, whoever wanted to participate. Why did it just come down to these four? It's just a dog and pony show to me. Do what you got to do. Let's quit talking. Let's get in the communities and let's make it happen. But I wasn't moved by LeBron James and D-Wade and Carmelo Anthony up on stage basically saying the same rhetoric that black folks have been saying forever. It's time for action. I would have been, yeah, I didn't even need the speech. I didn't even need to hear it. It was the ESPYs. Nothing happened or nothing will happen or come from those hollow words. Those words were hollow to me. And I'm not going at LeBron or anybody that has something to say. Why was it them four? Why didn't everybody come up? And it's talk. You know, it's time for action.
Well, Guru, I understand what you're saying. You want to know what the action is going to be on the other end of
right.
people getting up on the stage.
And
to
I don't
talk.
Want to know. And I'm not saying LeBron doesn't have 10 boys clubs. I'm not saying any of that. None of that needed to be said. It is code red here in regard to race relations. And those words just rang hollow to me. It was the ESPYs and award show, and then you want to segregate and just have the banana boat crew up there with just four guys to where now you got guys like Steph Curry being criticized because he wasn't on stage. I just wish they would have organized it better and had everybody up there as opposed to just them four.
Well, when LeBron poses the question, what are we doing to create change? I mean, don't you think the key is? Because a lot of times when something like this goes down and we have a lot of troubles as a society, I always ask the question, like, what can one person like myself do to make any type of change? But isn't it really that question? What are we doing or what am I doing to create change? And then from that, you can start in your own community.
Right.
And then with each action or act of kindness or love or the way that you reach out to other people, that's how the change will start.
Well, I think that anytime something happens that's grabbed it, that's tear jerking, that grabs you, people react, and they usually react with words. But I tell you some of the things that I do. I can't speak for, I know what LeBron does, some of the things that you see what he does. I see some of the things that people do. But you can only focus, and that's the thing, like you're saying, Guru, there's a lot of people that are lip service. They just say, oh, I'm going to do this, or oh, we need to do this, and it's all rhetoric, it's all words. So I get my kids up, I make them go in the kitchen weekends, and we make peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But I'm in there with them. I put the turkey. We sit there and we work. Or we'll go sometimes if we don't have time. You know what we'll do? We'll go to Subway and get the platter of sandwiches, and we'll go to Fresno on the West Side where there's homeless, black, white, green, purple. It doesn't matter race, creed, and we go out and we give life. We bring them a sandwich. We talk to them. How are you doing? Hey, and I tell my kids. I said that could be you. I said, what makes you any different from them? I said, what makes you any different when you watch the commercials where it's the kids in Ethiopia, starving kids? Just so happen you're blessed that that's not you. So if it's not you and you are privileged, what are you going to do? So I'm hoping that my kids and my legacy that I live to them, that they can get up on weekends when they have a family and do the same thing and empower and show a little bit of love, because you can't save the world.
So this starts on a family level.
It starts on a family level. It starts on an individual level. But if I can show my kids that I'm willing to show kindness, hopefully, because kids are very impressionable. And that's what parents have to do. We can go to take them to the movies. We can take them to go by to the Dolly World. We take them in L.A. where they can get a freaking $300 doll that my girls have two and three of those. The doll, you go to freaking the place in L.A. and they make that special doll for you that every little girl wants. And it's cost money. So why can't I, as a parent, if I'm willing to do that and throw that away and they play with the Dolly one or two times and I wasted $500-$600 or $1,000 on dolls, why can't I show them, hey, this is a privilege. Now let's go out here into the community. And that's what parents need to do. This is what we need to do. We're a society. We need not just our resources, but put our time. Go out there, invest your time into these people that are going out doing a lot of these things that are horrible. It's horrible, horrible things.
Well, that's my big question, is that you hear all the talk, but what is the best way how can someone like me make change with all the problems that we have going on in society?
You're doing
right
it
now.
Already. You go out and you feed homeless. You go out and you talk to people. That's who you are. Do you do that?
I do, yeah, over in Oakland.
Kudos.
Yeah. And those are things that it's tough. And it's tough to manage our time. One thing we can never get back is time. I can give you, you know, everyone talks about the, you know, oh, give them a dollar. It's the old saying. The old saying is what? You could give a boy a plate of fish and feed him for a day or two, but why don't you teach him a fish and feed him for a lifetime? So when you're talking to these people, give them life. How can I help you? Hey, do you know the community? Hey, you can go down to the rec center. Here's a place that's offering a job. Hey, here's a place you can go and shower. And because some of these people, show them social things that are out there in the community, a pregnant mom, a teen, here's a house, here's different places for you. So educate yourself enough to know to try to help these individuals. If not, the burden comes back. We're going to lose anyway. We pay it in taxes. And then if they go to prison, we pay it again in taxes. So we're paying for it.
No, I agree. The reason why I'm asking the question is that, so when we have a tragedy, if it's not in your community and doesn't impact you directly, then the next day we usually wake up and go back to work. We go back to our family life. We go back to our own business, sure. Right?
But here recently, just from my perspective, with these murders by the police, I have two sons, 13 and 12. Like you said, it starts at home. It starts with your own. I felt compelled to sit them down and tell them how to handle themselves when they come in contact with police, you know, and it stemmed from what we saw on the video. Sure. I don't have all the facts, but I saw what I saw. So I felt like I had to take initiative and talk to my sons and tell them when that day comes, because it will, how to handle them.
So you use the moments as an opportunity to communicate
exactly.
with your kids.
And I'm not, again, and I'm not low saying LeBron was bad. I'm just at a point in my life to where I'd like to see the actual action. And I felt like that was just dog and pony show yesterday. And now you got guys, again, getting questioned like Steph Curry, who feels the same way as LeBron and probably has all his, you know, his things he's doing in the community. You know, he's getting chastised now because he wasn't up there. And I felt like they should have had more guys up there to deliver that message.
But you know what, though? When people are going to talk, my dad always said, you can't stop a duck from flying over your head, but you can stop him from landing on your head. So those who know don't tell. Those who tell don't know. A lot of people that know Steph, they know what he's doing in the community. People that know LeBron, they know what he's doing. People that don't know, they just don't want to talk. People that really know these individuals, know their heart, and know what they're actually doing in the community, they're looking at that as just noise. And Steph doesn't need to go up and defend himself, because he knows what he's doing. And people that know Steph and know LeBron.
Do you think these athletes gave the right message last night to get people to react or to respond?
Here's the thing. If they did or did not, I listened. And the thing about it is, when everyone says, well, athletes
So the message was received.
Yeah, when everyone says athletes shouldn't speak, well, there goes to show you that they felt compelled because ESPYs is something to watch. And LeBron is one of the biggest athletes ever and still one of the biggest athletes right now in our current times. He has a voice.
You don't think anybody was in his ear to? I'm just throwing it out there that maybe, hey, LeBron, it'd be a good look if you kind of, you know, read what we got written here for you. You know,
I think that right now it's not about who gave him who to read or anything. This country's in a crisis, and I think that even when you heard the national anthem be sung by the guy in Canada, it's something going on,
okay. And
everyone sees it from a distance.
We got a couple of people that would like to comment on the speech from LeBron and his guys last night at the ESPYs, 888-957-9570. Also, we've got a poll question that Anna's going to deliver to you and something to think about. Did Kevin Durant run the Thunder franchise into the ground? We'll tell you what that means. 743, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Are the Raiders ready to handle the high expectations? NFL scout Lance Zierlein joins us coming up at 8:30.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
7:46. We'll get to today's 95.7 The Game Take Your Pick poll question in just a moment. But we had people who wanted to comment on LeBron James, Chris Paul, Melo, and the rest of the crew we saw last night at the ESPYs encouraging people to make change in their communities. Let's go out to Ben in Alameda, 888-957-9570. Ben, thanks for holding. What were your thoughts on the speech by LeBron and company last night at the ESPYs? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Dale in Daly City. Dale, what was your takeaway from the speech last night?
Chad, what's up, buddy? It's Dale Rule, man. How you doing?
Very well, buddy. What's up, Dale?
Hey, man. I love you, brother. It's so good to hear you.
You got it, man. I appreciate it.
What's that?
Where are you at right now?
I am halfway between Half Moon Bay and Daly City. Walking down Highway 1, so I apologize for the noise.
No, it's okay, man. Did you see the LeBron speech last night?
I heard it. For you guys, I haven't had time to watch TV right now, so I'm out on the road 14 hours a day. So
now, Dale,
hey,
Dale, why don't you take a moment real quick to tell everyone what you're doing out there on the road?
Well, I started June 23rd in Seaside, Oregon, and I am walking in 40 consecutive days to San Diego, California, averaging 34 miles walking each day to do, honestly, just exactly what LeBron talked about. The basis of my walk is to continue to bring awareness to obesity. But the reality is the awareness of my walk is to bring the awareness to people and to life and to loving. And as I've battled my own fight in my own journey with obesity, I realized that when I looked in the mirror, it wasn't about how the size I was. It was about the person I loved. And I didn't love that dude no more. And if I can't love me, I can't love others. So my platform, you've known me for a while, Chad. So my platform has kind of changed slightly, or it's the same platform, maybe with a different spin. But you know, my nonprofit that I started a couple of years back is to do just what you said. And I've never shared this with you because this is kind of newer. The last couple of years, I've really started to tackle this. But my goal is to go in and build athletic, fully fenced, gated, 40-acre walking athletic parks across this country. So, yeah, dude, I'm rolling 1,360 miles walked in 40 days.
So, Dale, why don't you let everyone know how much weight you've lost? How are you feeling? How much weight have you lost?
I lost 140 pounds in 12 months. I lost 101 pounds in 6 months walking. I've kept it off almost the last 6.5 years. I've kept the weight off.
Now, I know there are a lot of people listening right now who can relate to or have been through what you've been through with obesity. So what is your one line that you would communicate with them in order to, you know, keep their spirits up as they battle?
Oh, man, look in the mirror and love that person. Love that person right where you're at. When you fall in love with that person, you'll do anything you can to fix your life. Whether health, mental health, physical health, all of it. And all of a sudden you start fixing your own life, and then doggone it, you start changing other people's and impacting other people's lives. It's an incredible journey.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Walking to make change. He's walking all the way down to your neck of the woods, Lowe's, San Diego.
100 pounds.
That's awesome. That's freaking awesome.
That's big time right there.
That's awesome.
Over 100, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
120. All right, let's grab another one here. Let's go to Art in Daly City. Art, you got thoughts on the Banana Boat Boys commenting at the ESPYs last night?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I might have to agree with Guru on this one. You know, LeBron got his best friends up there with him, the ones that that he wants on his own super team. And, you know, you talk about reaching out and to the community and getting everybody involved. You know how much he hates Steph Curry throwing shade at the Warriors, at the parade, and doing all this and that. Show a little bit of love. Invite him up on the stage and show the unity and show that you're really serious about this and open your heart instead of a – you know, like Guru said, with this hollow stuff that he's saying out there.
Sometimes I think I'm crazy, and then I hear people like Art call, and all I just share with you what hit my heart. Like, where was Steph? Where were other guys? Don't just do it with your clique, per se. I don't know. That's just how I felt.
No, I'm with you on that. I think there are people out there that it resonates with them, too. It's like, great, you can talk, and it's all easy when the cameras are on and everything, but what's going to happen on the back end of this?
And like Lo said, time – as you get older, you appreciate time more.
Yeah.
And when I go to my kids' baseball game and you got the parents in the crowd, oh, this coach is terrible or this coach is that, I've learned to shut up. You know why? Because this coach also has a regular job.
Yeah.
But you know what he's doing? He's giving our kids their time. And I can't do it. But, yeah, we sit there and lambaste the coach, and it's wrong. It's going to take time to fix and heal us. And again, I'm not perfect. I can't tell you what I do besides try to raise my kids, but it's a lot that goes into this, and I don't know who has the answer or where we look for the answer. Maybe within ourselves, obviously, that's the start.
751, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. Let's head over to the sports desk. Anna's got some interesting news coming out of the NBA.
Yeah, so Sean Devaney of the Sporting News is reporting that front office sources say that a three-team package is in the works right now that would potentially send Blake Griffin to the Celtics, and it would include the Kings sending Rudy Gay to the Clippers. So an interesting trade, a potential blockbuster trade, getting ready to go down.
I can, for the life of me, don't understand what happened with Blake, who I call the modern-day Karl Malone, who could play on the block and shoot that 15- to 20-footer. What happened in L.A. for him to fall out of favor? I just don't understand it.
Did you just compare Blake Griffin to Karl Malone?
I stand by it.
Well, I think I just vomited in my mouth.
Okay, but I just, the guy can play on the post, but all of a sudden he has this moniker as if he's soft or he's not good. And DeAndre Jordan sits there and gets courted by all these other teams. And if he can't score, if it's not a dunk, I don't get it.
The only thing that the mailman had over Blake is more physical. Blake Griffin is a real kid.
The most thing to call, and you know it,
Malone is more meaner, he's tougher, and he'll fight you and beat you up. Blake Griffin, the only thing he's different, he's softer.
And he lets the guys, like when he gets fouled,
gets intimidated.
But
if you're talking about a guy can go to the hole and take it to the hole and sling and put it up.
And hit a 15 or 20 footer.
Karl Malone couldn't do what that boy could do. And he got a nice jump shot.
Like
he
Carl
play with
could
his back.
Rise, yeah. Blake can hit you with the air, too. He can get up in the air.
Malone bad. No, I'm just saying, I'm with you on that one.
He's way softer.
Are you on the record here? Are you listening? So you're with him, too, Guru? Yeah.
No, I'm with him.
Oh, you guys are both crazy.
I respect him. The black neck. Crazy. That's his nickname.
Yeah, hating on Karl Malone.
Wait a minute. I'm not hating on Karl's. Wait a minute.
Karl Malone is the best power forward of all time. I would take him over Tim Duncan. I don't care if he has rings or not. And you're telling me, now you're comparing Blake Griffin to Karl Malone?
I'm not saying I would take him over.
I did not say
I would take him over Karl Malone.
Seen Blake shoot from the top of that free
throw. They said
area.
He couldn't shoot. I'm the one who told him they could shoot. He's hitting that.
He's got that down.
Karl Malone was awesome with his mid-range game. His fadeaway was unblockable.
The difference is mental.
He could work the pick and roll better than anybody. He was awesome, like a deer running in
you
the open
like
field
Blake.
On the
you
break.
Don't like
you don't
Blake
like Blake
at all.
You don't like him.
There's a lot of players in the NBA I don't like. Blake is on that list.
But so why Blake? I'm just you don't respect his game.
No,
he's
I don't respect
game.
His game. No, I don't respect the Clippers or Blake Griffin.
What about Doc Rivers? You love Doc Rivers.
I don't love Doc either. Don't even go there. You guys are driving me crazy. Oh, Blake Griffin is
hot. He got hot. Doc loves Doc. Doc Rivers is his favorite coach by far in the NBA.
If you need a play called out of a timeout, Doc is your man.
I would take Terry Stotts or Steve Kerr, but whatever. I mean, come on. You guys are crazy.
I'm not riding the Doc train. No, that I'm not riding the Doc train. I'm not on Doc Rivers' train.
I don't care about Doc's train. What I care about are people comparing Blake Griffin to Karl Malone. That's okay, though.
Blake Griffin, man. Go pull up his numbers.
Yeah, he's so good.
Go put up his numbers.
He's so much like the mailman that they can't wait to ship his ass out of town.
Go put his
that
numbers.
That is what I don't understand.
Put his numbers up. Go to this.
He's not Karl Malone.
Get our stat guy to pull up his numbers and pull up Blake's numbers and see where they're at.
I'm telling you, Chad.
Their part in time in their career. Blake Griffin is a boy dog.
He's a real deal
He's just not. He just softer.
He needs some Malone mental.
Yeah.
If he had that Malone mental to know what his worth is, he would be dangerous. I wish I could meet Blake. Like Blake.
I hope y'all.
When these dudes foul you, they're testing you. And when you don't retaliate or get back up like you're upset, I'm telling you, you look soft. And now people are just taking advantage of his mental. Man.
No one ever looked at Karl Malone and said, you know what? He might be a little bit soft.
No way.
No one ever thought that about the mailman.
No, they
would have kicked their ass.
Absolutely.
You know what Blake Griffin is? He's B-made. And Draymond Green has proved it over and over and over again.
He's not the problem that on the Clippers. That's as far as I'll go. Blake is not your problem.
But one thing
he's
for certain,
an asset.
One thing for certain, what Danny Ainge was able to do over the last few years with the deal to the Nets, all the acquisition of the assets that we see, the young players, they're in a position now to where they can make one of these unbalanced, uneven deals, right?
And not lose much.
Exactly. So either it's bringing in a guy like Griffin, or they can make a maneuver and bring in a guy like Russell Westbrook. This is what Danny Ainge has been doing over the last 3 years to where if they get one of those pieces,
what
if you
they
guys
get
have
both?
Talked about
they
it,
got enough to get – I'm just throwing it out
they
there.
They become a real player in the Eastern Conference. Wow. Don't they, Lo?
The leprechaun is back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Woo!
And they're a good team. They're a mid-range team. If you look at Boston, what they've been able to do, they compete. And they do not have a bona fide superstar, and they still compete.
And now we saw them with the Warriors. They run up and down. They got all styles.
Yep. And because they're coached well, they're disciplined, and they fight. And that's a good coach, a great front office, the things that they're able to do. You give them a bona fide superstar, they'll compete even more.
And Danny Ainge, don't overlook this, is very aggressive, just like his playing days. I think they got a great possibility to land both if they were to get Griffin and Westbrook.
Ooh, wait, that'd be nasty. Nasty.
Blake Griffin's like Karl Malone. What's next? You guys going to tell me next? Next up, Guru and Lowe are going to tell Chad how Andrew Bogut's like Kareem.
If they got Westbrook and Blake Griffin, They're coming out.
It's going to happen. Man, Cleveland's in trouble.
If they come out of there, they might come out of the East with those two, don't you think?
Well, that's like adding a.
That's what we just said.
You got to be in it to win it. Yeah.
But you said you wanted the East.
I want Westbrook would be awesome going to Boston.
And put him with Blake.
Yeah. There's no guarantee with KD here.
Pick and roll those two?
6 months in, he'll punch an equipment guy and things will fall apart.
Yali, Chad. Not an overnight. No. Man.
I love the mailman.
All of this leads us to our next question.
The mail doesn't run on Sundays. That's what Michael told him. Jordan told him. And what did he do? He went up there and missed the free throw. The mailman.
Karl Malone.
Did he not?
No, he did not miss a free throw.
That didn't happen?
Which game are you talking about? Which NBA Finals?
I'm not for sure. I think it was this last
game. Game one of the 97 Finals, he missed a free throw at the end of the game, which led to MJ's game winner. Yeah. That was game one of the 97 Finals.
And they told him, the mail ain't running on Sunday.
Yep. All of this leads us to our next question involving Russell Westbrook. Anna's got that for you. What team would be the best fit for him? I'll put that to the guys next. 758, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.